Pastor John told me I was allowed to preach whatever I wanted to preach as long as I came up with a good title. And there's been some okay ones in the past that I've tried to do. I don't have a great, clever one like I usually try to do. I told Pastor John I thought about preaching on the Lord building his church, and I was going to call it Built Lord Tough. I thought that would have been a good message. I was gonna preach in Daniel about Daniel Lion's Den. I was gonna call it Lions, Advisors, and Cares. Oh my! Hey, I'm from Kansas. I'm allowed to do that. My wife's been trying to convince me to preach a message on Follow the Yellow Brick Road, and I don't have one for that yet. So you can be thankful for that. I am one of my favorite titles I have of messages in the Book of Genesis. And it's when Abraham, it's not as funny of a sermon, I suppose, but when Abraham is watching Sodom burn, it's called As the World Burns instead of As the World Turns. And so those are some of my favorite messages. I do like a title for a message. It does kind of wrap in everything that you want to speak about, kind of put it all together and sets the tone for the message. And so there is a reason for those things. And so if I could this morning, I'd like to preach a message on a fate worse than death. And let's go ahead and we'll pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, and what a blessed opportunity it is every time we get to get up and preach from your word and hear from your word. Lord, we are not worthy at all for your consideration this morning. Lord, we are just a bunch of sinners. Lord, the only thing that makes us any good at all is because of your shed blood and what you've done in our life. And so, Lord, we're amazed this morning that not only that you care about us, but you are coming back for us. And so I pray that you would get into this message. Lord, if you're not in it, nothing's good going to come from it. My ability is nowhere near up to the task of what needs to be said this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move mightily, be able to keep me in check. And, Lord, that most of all, at the end of this, you'd be glorified in all that is done. And we do pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy, most precious name. And amen. All right, before I have you turn open your Bibles to a place, I titled the message, A Fate Worse Than Death, and I did that for a reason. I did that to hopefully elicit some sort of response in your mind to what that could possibly be. I don't want to give away what it is yet, where we're going to. I can promise you this, I am not being clever. I could not do that if I really wanted to, but I'm not being clever. I'm not trying to be dramatic this morning. I'm trying to be on the scriptures and where they're leading at and what it says. And so, but maybe in your mind, when you heard a fate worse than death, maybe there were some things that popped into your mind. Maybe you think, well, maybe he's going to go to Luke chapter 16. He's going to talk about hell. And certainly, hell would be a good message to go with the title, because hell is a fate worse than death. I can't imagine these people who are lost and they're in cancer wards this morning and they are in pain, and hopefully that someday when they pass away, they're going to be some sort of comfort to only be in a worse place than they were before.
Right.
I can't fathom that in my mind. But so maybe it is that something like that. Maybe in your mind it's talking about something like Job, the book of Job, and certainly there are some things in there I could see that being applied to and going with, and a message with that title would be applicable to those things as well. But I would think in your mind, maybe it has gone somewhere this morning. There is something in your life that you would be more afraid of than death. I remember the sayings when I was a kid, and it was even getting retro maybe at that point. The idea in America is better dead than red. Have you ever heard that before? And certainly that is, I think that's still true, but red is no longer Russian. Red is more of the conservative side of things. And that's the way we are going to. We better be dead than go through that. And so I say all this. Now we can take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and just to see, like I said, I'm not being clever, I'm not being dramatic. What we're going to go over is in the context, but that maybe that little somber feeling that we started off this message with, it needs to be applicable to understand and appreciate what Paul is trying to get here. Now we'll just start in verse number 1. It says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time on his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the mouth of the flock? Now I just want to stop right there before we get any further as we see the context of what we're getting into here. We're talking about a pastor getting paid. Now, don't get crazy this morning. I'm not asking for any money. I know that right there could be a fate worse than death for some people. It's asking for some money. We're not doing that. I've never preached one time in my life for money. I've never preached for a raise. I don't really believe in doing those things. I believe if you fall, and I believe in teaching the scriptures, and so if it's in the context of what needs to be taught, it should be taught, and the Holy Spirit can work the rest of those things out, and he certainly has in my life. But Paul here, he's not preaching these things for that reason, but we are looking at money, and I just want you to see here in verse number 7, and he's going through about a pastor being taken care of. He uses illustrations here about this man going into war. Certainly we don't expect our soldiers to go to war and pay for their own food and pay for their own guns and pay for their own ammo and pay. We expect to be able to pay that for them so they can go ahead and do that job of protecting our country, correct? We all on the same page as that. And so we see the same thing that goes here with that first, the farmer and the shepherd. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not a pastor, do you understand this idea? Has anyone here ever struggled with your Christianity? Or are we all perfect this morning? I would say you probably have struggled at one point in your life. Now imagine how hard it is for you as you're struggling. Now you're a pastor, and now you got to worry about everyone else's struggles and make sure you're living your life in the way that you're supposed to live your life, to be that example, and also to bring other people around you up to the place where they should be as a Christian. I mean, that's rough. That's hard. And so he's saying here, this individual who does that, he should be taken care of. We'll just keep going on. Verse number 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? You would feed the ox. I remember the first time I did get a raise at church, and my deacon got up and quoted this verse. I was never so happy to be called an ox. You can call me whatever you want to call me. That's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Let's just keep on going. Verse number 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it great things if we shall reap you carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live with the things of the temple? And they which wait on the altar, we are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live with the gospel. So we're talking about these pastors here. They're getting paid. This is the way that God designed it to be. This is the way he wants it to be. This is ordained by God for the man of God to be taken care of. Now that all being said, let's go to verse number 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die. Let's read that again. For it were better for me to die, that any man should make my glorying void. I just want you to think about this for a second. You thought about this morning when I said a fate worse than death, and I'm sure there were things that popped in your mind, like I said. How many of you thought getting paid for something that you deserve would be a fate worse than death? I doubt anyone here did this morning, and if I wouldn't have had this in my mind, and the Holy Spirit didn't lead me this direction, I don't think that it would have been in my mind either, and I would have thought something completely different. But yet, for Paul, Paul said, I would rather have died than have taken your money. And why is that? Because he's going to glory in some things in their life. Now look in verse number 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now that verse 16, that's the verse the Lord called me to preach. I remember I was in the back here. I'm from, for those of you who don't know, I'm from Hope Baptist Church originally. I went to the Hope Institute of the Scriptures. I remember sitting in class, and it was a missions class, and Bob Jeffries was just, I don't even know what he was talking about. It was a Monday night. After sitting through Pastor Sal's classes, I already had my brain, it was kind of fried already from all that. And then I just remember sitting there, and this verse being said, and the Lord just said, that's you. You know why I'm preaching this morning? I'm preaching because the Lord told me to preach. I preach what the Lord tells me to preach. There's no glory in that. There's no glory in me preaching right now. There's no glory in me giving the gospel to somebody, to myself, because, hey, you're supposed to give the gospel to people. There's no glory. There's no glory in you being at church today. You're supposed to be here at church. But you know where Paul's glory came from back in verse number 15 is the glory to affect another person. You know where glory really comes from? The glory will not come from the preaching, this from me preaching. The glory comes from what are you going to do with the preaching? If I preach today and even one person here gets right with the Lord, that's glory. That's glory. And so what Paul is saying here is he's talking to a carnal church. We all know that the church here, they're as carnal can be. But let's face it, we are dealing with carnal people. We ourselves are carnal people. I probably spend more time in the carnal side of things than I do spend in the spiritual side of stuff. And so we find ourselves in the same place dealing with the same type of people that he's dealing with here. And he says he wants to be able to influence these people enough. And if he gets paid for the job, he's not going to be able to minister as well. Well, let me just give you an example of this. And it doesn't just have to be money. In this case, it's money. Now, let's say I got up this today, as I'm doing, and I don't mean this in any sort of joking fashion, but I'm a large individual. And let's say I was going to preach on gluttony this morning. There would be a couple of you that would be like, well, I think Pastor needs to take his own advice. Would there not? And to be honest, I would not fault a single one. Now, the reason you don't listen to the preacher because of the preacher. You listen because of the truth that he's preaching. If it's Bible, I don't care if it's a 5-year-old saying it, if it's 9-year-old saying it, I don't care who it is. If it's Bible and it's true, then that's what matters. But we're dealing with people, and people aren't always rational, right? Like ourselves. And so that's where it goes. Now, I got to be honest. I looked up, once in a while, I look on Hope Baptist on your sermon audio page, and I saw a message by Brother Caleb Cheedy on gluttony. I don't know where you are, brother. But I was drawn to it right away. First of all, because someone had a little bit of manliness to him to be able to preach on the Baptist sin. So I can appreciate that. But I automatically was drawn to it, and I thought, this should be good. Brother Caleb is not large like this. And so it already, I don't know, he might have, I don't know what you preach, brother. It could be total trash. I assume it's not, because I know you. But you already get a little more credence in my life because, hey, look, Caleb's in shape. He takes care of himself. This means something because of that. So already he's been able to influence me a little bit on before I've even listened to the message. And so we understand our life. The man, at the end of the day, the man is the message. Whether that is fair or not, the man is the message. And so I speak this to preachers now. I would say this as a preacher. I do work. I do have some jobs I do. I still do flooring. And I think it is good at times to be able to work. I have some guys in my congregation. One of them is a engineer on a train. And it's been in the hundreds. It was 102 when we left Kansas. And he sits in a train with no air. And then I'm supposed to talk to him about enduring hardness as I'm in my air-conditioned office. Now, just because I'm dealing with carnal people, there's going to be someone here that says, well, my pastor doesn't do that. Well, look, don't be carnal. Just do me a favor, okay? Just do me a favor when you think that. Just shut up. All right? Because it's the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with someone, with a pastor who's got to that place and his church can take care of this. There's nothing wrong with that. But the idea is this. I have to minister to you. You have to minister to others around you. You have to take the gospel to other people. Now, I'll say this. As a pastor, I have a little bit of an easier job of things. I'm a pastor. When I tell people I'm Pastor so-and-so, they think, okay, well, he's Pastor Steve. It's great. He already has a little bit of credibility. When you tell someone you're a Christian, you have zero credibility. They're looking for things that are wrong with you. They want you to be bad. They want you to be wrong. They want to use your life as a reason for them not to get saved, not to be able to live right. And so you have a hard job to do too. And so the fact is, at the end of the day, what Paul is saying here is the gospel is more important than anything else. Now, I just want you to understand that. The gospel is not more important than my ministry. Or also, if my family is not more important than my ministry. My family's not more important than my church, but the gospel is more important than my family. I don't like that. Well, you know, the gospel is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And Jesus Christ is more important than you. There is nothing more important in this life than the gospel. And the fact is, if people could see how great the gospel was, if they could clearly see the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives, more people would come to Christ. And I don't want to just start and end with those who are lost. Look, the gospel is more than just salvation. When you understand, when we're giving somebody the gospel, I am not just offering them a free trip to heaven. I am not just offering them not going to hell. You know, they can have a relationship with God. They can get prayers answered that they could never get answered before. They can go ahead and be a new creature. There are some things they're going to be able to mortify their members like they've never been able to do before. They're going to be able to think about heaven. They're not going to be in the depressions of the things of this world like they were before. We are offering people the greatest thing that's ever been given. And we have become stewards of that, not just of salvation, but of what it is to be the new creature. And so, since we are stewards of that, we need to treat it as such, of the importance that it is. And even though Paul here has earned the right to get paid, if it hinders him from even a little bit of being able to minister the truth of the scriptures to somebody, he says, I will not take that. Because it's more important that you get the truth, and that you can change, and that your family can get right with God, and your marriage can get better, so someone else down here can get saved, and they're going to see it from you, and this thing is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. See, that's the way that God wanted it to be. I read a quote by Ian Bounds one time. He says, the man is God's method. Man is looking for better methods, well, God is looking for better men. And so at the end of the day, we want to come up with all these fun, fancy things to do. You know what Christians need to do? They need to live for the Lord. Live like it's true. Now, if I could real quick, I know I'm picking up already closer to the time I need to stop. What time do you need to stop, brother? Okay, well, I'm going to take that to heart and just keep on going. I don't know who's going after me, but let's go to Jonah chapter number 4, because I want to make a comparison here. I like comparing things in the scripture. And so this idea of being better off dead shows up only one other time in the scriptures, and that is in Jonah chapter number 4. And so I just want to make some quick comparisons here for us as we see a man. Now, compare Jonah and Paul. I'm just going to make some quick comparisons for you. They both went to Gentiles. They both had adventures on ships. Acts chapter 27, and then you have this here. Where was Jonah going to when he was trying to flee from the Lord? Well, he was going to Tarshish. Where's Paul from? Yeah, so there's some connections there. There's probably more you can make. I'm not going to take too much more time with that. But in Jonah chapter number 4, and we'll just start in verse number 1. Said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now, just to stop there, you know what I want the world to see? You know what I want the teens to see? You know what I want my kids to see? You know what I want everyone to see? I want to see that God is gracious, that he's merciful, that he is slow to anger, that he is to have great kindness, and he does want to repent of evil that he's going to do. I want people to see that. And yet here we have a man that says, oh, I knew this. This is a problem for me, God. Your greatness and your kindness and your mercy, this is a problem for me. I can't deal with this, God. And that's where he's finding himself in. In verse number 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And I wonder if I could real quickly today make a comparison. Are we more like Jonah or are we more like Paul? Now, I'll say this. God can still save and move, in fact, in spite of a man like Jonah. Because certainly there was great revival in the book of Jonah, but that's more about God and less about Jonah. And so I want to be able to do my job and not be in hindrance. And so just like I said, real quickly, we're just going to look at a few things. Verse number 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad at the gourd. Oh, this gourd has come. This is wonderful. Verse number 7. But God prepared a worm that the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished in himself to die again, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now, I just want you to see the difference here between Jonah and Paul. What Jonah was concerned about, the fruit of the ministry, while Paul was concerned about ministering the fruit. You know what the modern Christian is concerned about? Me. How am I going to benefit from this? How is it going to make my life better? How can God make my life more comfortable? How can my life be more blessed than it is? Look, I understand there are some people that are going through some hard things, and I get that, and I'm not trying to be mean or nasty, but I need you to understand this. When we got saved, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit of God, and He is the Comforter. He's already given me fruit. And if I don't have fruit in my life, most likely it is because of something that I've done to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so a lot of our discomfort that we're in is not because God doesn't love you, because He certainly does love you. He's already paid that price. He's already given you everything that you need for that. It's because of something that we have done that has interrupted that relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And so we find ourselves in the place where we find ourselves, instead of being able to think about these others who are around us who might need some fruit ministered to them. Yeah, I heard Brother Sal's message on Sunday night, and it really scared me because he started preaching and talking and saying things, and it was like, man, he's really on the same page as me. And then he went to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and said, he's too on the same page with me. And he said some things that are going right with, and that's the Lord kind of cemented some of these things of why we're going this direction. But understand, we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do as a Christian. Because we want to do things for ourselves. It's about me, it's about me, it's about me. How am I going to feel good? How is this going to make me happy? Well, I like listening to that. I like wearing that. I like going there. I like doing. Well, what about all these other people that need the gospel? What about these other Christians? Let's take for a second those people that not even are saved. Let's look at the people who are saved. And there are Christians who need to live like the gospel is true. And you might be doing okay in your life, but they're not. And they're going to look at you and use you for an excuse of why they're not going to get things right. And why they're not going to change. And why they're not going to, okay, you have that right to do that. You have that right to be like Jonah and do whatever it is that you want to do. That is fine. But understand this, you care more about your own comfort. While there's millions of people on this earth that have no comfort. They've never had it one day when they put their head on their pillow at night. Have they ever had comfort? And we look at them as they're the problem. And we don't like them. And we hate all the things that they're doing. And they are, aren't you glad God didn't have that kind of response to you? I'm glad someone ministered the fruit to me. Not only just salvation, I'm glad there were people at this church that loved me and taught me and showed me what it was to be a Christian. I know this, I'm not the only one here today that's only here because of the men of Hope Baptist Church. And that includes Brother Sal, and that includes others just that are here. Good men who I saw being a Christian, and the fruit of that is standing up here. And someday I hope that I can minister someone else some fruit, And someday, maybe someone will be standing behind this pulpit 20, 30 years from now, and they'll be preaching a message because of something they heard today. And that is, at the end of the day, that is the goal. And so are we ready to minister the fruit? Are we really living the life? Look, are we really living like the Lord Jesus Christ really is our all in all? That he's all that thrills my soul? Do you live like he gave you, not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of sound mind and of love? I hear Christians all the time and, oh, God needs to help me, God needs to help me. I understand that. I'm not trying to be mean and critical, but at the same time, if that's all the world hears from you, that how horrible everything is, and what, your God can't take care of you? I thought your God was all powerful. I thought your God was all strong. I thought he answered prayers. I thought he did. I thought that, but apparently looking at your life, God does not do any of those things that you profess. And so why would I want any of that? You understand, this is a serious thing. This is a fate worse than death for us to be able to go ahead and hinder that ability for someone else to get that fruit. And so not only did he care more about the fruit, but let's keep going back here in Jonah chapter 4. In verse number 9, it says, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Which we all know, he is not doing well to be angry. He's confused about that. We all know, but he doesn't. Verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither there madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You know the difference between Jonah and Paul? Jonah cared about those things that perished. Well, Paul cared about those things that lasted for eternity. Look, I understand the Lord has given us a lot of blessings. I love being an American. Now, I'm just going to let you in a little secret, though. This thing perishes. Now, am I saying I want that to happen? Sometimes I preach these things and people get upset because they read between some lines somewhere. I'm not saying that. If I had the option today, I would rather have America be the great thing that we all dreamed it to be. Well, this thing's perishing. We just were blessed in January to be able to buy a house, and it is a blessing. We are enjoying it thoroughly, but I understand this. That thing's going to burn. It's going to burn. I'm not taking it with me. We enjoy it, and the Lord can give you blessings. There's nothing wrong with blessings. But when those blessings take precedence over those things that last for eternity, then I have failed the Lord. And Paul is saying, look, don't you need money? Does anyone here have bills? Does anyone here have need food? If you don't, I'm coming to your house. We can obviously see I could use some more food. We'll take care of it for you. But obviously we're all in the place where we need money. We need these things. We have needs. But at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen to this life? This life is going to perish. And the Lord does not come back, and I was hoping after the message this morning that the Lord would come back before I got up to preach. It did not happen. But I was hoping for that. Look, if he doesn't come back, I'm dying. This thing's perishing. It does not last very long. But the chance that I have to minister to you and what it's going to cause for you for an eternity, and let's not even be so gracious to other people. Let's think about ourselves. I mean, just the rewards that I can get in eternity for ministering to you. I mean, that's pretty good in itself. But then you factor in the fact that there are going to be some people in heaven because you did something for the Lord. You suffered for the Lord. Just real quickly, we still have visitation in our church. We've been going out, and it was 102 on Tuesday when we went out on visitation. But the second door I knocked on, I let the guide of the Lord. I don't say that to my glory. I did my job. My job was to go out and tell someone the glory is that he got saved and the Lord did something. And I told him, look, it's hot here, but it's going to be a lot hotter where you were going to go. You understand? I was able to minister something that's not going to perish. Sure, I could help someone and I can love someone and I can be kind to people. And I'm not saying the Lord can't use those for other things, but at the end of the day, it's about the gospel's sake. And if I could just have one more thing here in verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. You know, at the end of the day, Jonah didn't care anything but what God cared about. But Paul cared about the things that God cared about. At the end of the day, how much do you really care about the things that God cares about? How much are they occupying your mind and your time and your thoughts and your efforts? I understand. We all work. Hey, so did Paul, apparently. Because he had to work with his hands. And that might have been, he might have even had his thorn in the flesh at that point. I don't know. I've worked with a thorn in my flesh. I hurt my hand last week. I've not been able to bend my wrist. And it's in pain. And I have to do floors. And guess what? I had to work doing floors with a hurt hand. Don't feel bad for me. I don't care. You got to do what you got to do. That's just part of life. And people need to understand that instead of being able to use that as an excuse not to do something for the Lord. And be able to see that, people can see what's important to me, and they can see what's important to God. Look, on Sunday, we didn't have our regular piano player there. I had to get up, and I don't play the piano, but I play on the piano. And I played on the piano, the songs, and it hurt playing on the piano. Well, who cares? People need to see worshiping the Lord is important. And it's important to me. It hurt. Who cares? Well, they needed to see that. You need to see that. It's okay that there's some weakness that's there. I mean, Paul was, if we were to go back to First Corinthians chapter 9, hey, look, to the Jews, I became a Jew. And Pastor Sal used the illustration on Sunday, which was in my notes. But in Acts chapter 16, Timothy got circumcised just so he didn't have to deal with that whole issue with the Jews. That's a lot of pain. That's a lot of, well, I don't have to do that. Okay, you don't have to do that. You also don't have to listen to you. If you're not willing to put in the effort, then why should they have to listen to you? It should work both ways. Look, at the end of this thing here, I'm just using it as what we're seeing going on in this world. You know, I believe in the freedom of speech. I do. I am so thankful for the freedom of speech. I'm glad that's a right that we have. I am thankful that this morning I can come and say these things. And I'm thankful for people that will listen. That's a blessing as well. But I'm thankful that it has not been taken away from us. But don't you know there are some people in America that have really abused that? I mean, there are people that you go to the store and you see on their shirts they have inappropriate things that are right on their shirt. And you're trying to walk around. You're taking your wife out and your kids out. And you're just trying to go to Walmart and get some food or whatever it is. And there you are just in your face and seeing these. I don't like that. It's disgusting. It's gross. I hate it when they have billboards and they have the disgusting things on billboards. And if you turn on your TV, there's every show has all the homosexual things and all the stuff that's going on. And I hate all that. And I don't want to see it at all. But don't you know they have that right? And if they touch that right, they can touch your right. So let's just be careful on that. But I hate that. I hate seeing that stuff. I hate that they have the magazines in the gas stations and stuff. I hate that people are just trying to defile all that makes America good, and they don't care about being a good citizen at all. And it's disgusting. Is it not? Does it not disgust you? Isn't it not horrible the way that people act? You know what they are? They're a bunch of jerks. No, seriously, they're a bunch of jerks. You've been given this freedom, and then you're going to go live the way that you want to live, and you're going to ruin the great thing that is America, and you're going to sit back and say how wonderful it is that I can do all these wonderful things, and how wonderful it is that I can think, even though I was born a man, I can think that I'm a woman, or that I can identify as whatever I want to identify as, or whatever it is, and that stuff, it's disgusting. They're jerks. But at the same time, hey, Christian, I know you can live the way that you want to live. I know you can go into work tomorrow and you can start quoting the same movies that all the people that are lost quote. Am I saying you can't watch movies? I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you, you can do that. But when they look at you as, I love the same things that this man loves. Hey, if I go into work tomorrow and I just talk about how great the game was last night and how, I don't even know who's playing or what sports are playing right now, but let's say someone's playing somewhere. And I talked about the game and how wonderful it is. Oh, he just loves sports like I love sports. And we get this idea, you know what, I want to be able to relate to people. People need to relate to me. Have you ever gone to the zoo and tried to relate to the apes? Do you know why I don't relate to the apes? I'm not related to them. Hey, Christian. Any man being Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am not related to this world. We are totally different. All things, the things that I worry about, the things that I talk about, the things that I love, the things that I listen to, the things that I wear. I love that illustration of the man with the yarmulke, because he cared enough about everywhere that he was. He didn't care that people thought that he looked crazy. He didn't. It was just, that was his testimony. And why is it that Christians, we want to fit in? We want to look like everybody else. That's fine. You're allowed to do that, but you're a jerk. And just to be honest, I know, Brother King, you preached last night about being gentle. This is me being gentle. Because if someone goes to hell because you were a jerk enough to go listen to the music that you want to listen to and keep watching the filth that you want to watch and you keep wanting to act the way that you are and someone's going to go to hell and burn there forever, you are a jerk. And that's the nicest thing I could possibly say about you. Look, this is a fate worse than death. We are dealing with life and death. We are dealing with something important here. We have been given the Bible. Now, our theme this week, oh, how love I thy law. You know, I believe David when he said that. You know why I believe David when he said that? Because I've seen his life. You know, if Paul said that, I can believe that. Because I've seen his life. If I said that, I might be meddling now. Look, Christian, what do you have in your life that is stopping you from your ability to minister to those who are around you? Look, these teens, these young people that are in here, they need to see how important the gospel is. We tell them everything else is so important, and about you got to get a good job, you got to get a good wife, you got to get. And I'm not opposed to any of those things, by the way. But look, the gospel is number one. The gospel is the most important. Every regret I've had in my life has been because I didn't live the gospel. And every real joy I've had in my life is because I've lived the gospel. So I just want to ask you, where are you at today? Are you more of a Jonah? Or are you more of a Paul? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity we had to get into your scriptures. Lord, this is an important subject. And Lord, I know this. I did not do it justice this morning. Lord, I wish a real preacher could get up here and preach this message. And, Lord, that you could use it even more mightily. But, Lord, we do pray that your spirit would touch. Lord, this is an important thing. If we could live the way that you would want us to live, if we could live like your gospel really is the most important thing, we wouldn't necessarily be complaining about all the things that we're complaining about. We wouldn't be living the way that we're living. But we would see some successes that we've never seen before. And, Lord, I believe this totally. I believe that we are the problem. Lord, your spirit is still strong. Your gospel is still strong. Your son is still able to save. And, Lord, the problem is not with any of that. The problem is with me. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has anything in their life, I don't care how big or small it is, and maybe it's even allowable, but Lord, I thank you for this illustration that Paul gave us. And if it's money in my life, even though I've earned it and it's good, Lord, please help me see it so I can get rid of what needs to get rid of. And Lord, I can do what's right. Lord, now I pray that you would help everyone here and minister to them today. And we do pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy, most precious name. Amen.